from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Always nice when we can celebrate a birthday of an awesome guy. That is Jerry Meehan, who was an original Sabre when play began for the Blue and Gold in 70-71. He would soon become captain and the only captain to then become general manager of the franchise. And what's incredible, and things I've learned and or relearned today, Marty, about Jerry, he was Buffalo's 15th selection in the expansion draft. Yes. Remember, it was Buffalo and Vancouver coming in. He was 29th in the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. And when you consider that he was their third leading scorer that year, 55 points, had some very good years for Buffalo before being traded in the year the Sabres would go to the Cup Final in 74-75. He and Mike Robitaille were sent to Vancouver for defenseman Jocelyn Givermont, who was very, very good in his time as a Buffalo Sabre. But there's so many cool things about Jerry. First assist in Sabres history. Of course, he had a multi-point game in their first ever game. They won 2-1 at Pittsburgh. He sets up both goals, including the game winner by Perreault in the third period. They had trouble scoring in their first few games. When they finally got a goal at home in a 1-1 tie with Pittsburgh, it was Jerry Meehan that scored the first home goal in franchise history. And I know you have a lot more to add beyond the statistics and footnotes that accompany Jerry as a player in Sabres history.
Well, here's the thing. Wikipedia sometimes is right and sometimes it's wrong. And right now they forgot to update his age because they still say 77, despite the fact that he turned 78 today. So that's one thing in Wikipedia.
Well, if you made a donation to Wikipedia, that would have been rectified. Yeah.
Here's the thing that's interesting, because our team of the day, which we'll spend very few minutes on, is the Philadelphia Flyers. But at the end of the 71-72 regular season, the Flyers needed a win or a tie against the Sabres. And who scored the goal that eliminated the Flyers from the playoffs is Jerry Meehan.
Where he came from in the expansion draft.
Yes, because it was Flyers, Toronto, and then obviously Buffalo. So, yeah. So,
and you know what else? Well, I didn't realize. Buffalo's first pick in the expansion draft was Tom Webster, the late Tom Webster, who was legendary coach, you know, when his playing days were done. But Webster was immediately traded to Detroit for Roger Crozier.
Oh, so that's how it brought Roger Crozier over.
And Roger, of course, I mean, we honestly should at some point do a show, multiple shows on Sabre netminders and Crozier's impact on the game individually, and especially for a team that was just trying to establish itself like the Sabres. Like, think of Buffalo's first ever home game. Montreal came in.
Phil Montreal, Mayer and net for the Montreal Canadiens.
Montreal won 3-0. Phil Mayer pitches a Biron shutout, making 14 saves.
Yes.
While poor Roger stood at the other end and stopped 50 of 53 against the juggernaut Habs, only to lose 3-0. Like, there's just, but I have to say, I did not know that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is game 5 in Buffalo franchise history that I'm about to hit you with.
Okay.
There was a record, a franchise record set in the 5th game in franchise history that still stands today.
I
would dare present it in the form of, will it ever be broken?
I don't know.
Reggie Fleming. The late Reggie Fleming. This was against Pittsburgh. And he clearly got into it with Brian Watson very early.
Oh, penalty.
Now, Reggie went off 2 minors, a major, and a 10. Watson went off with a single minor, a major, and a 10. Well, this was in the first minute. Before 5 minutes had elapsed, there are more penalties called, and obviously Reggie was not thrilled with Brian Lewis, who was, I'm assuming here, that it was a rant towards Brian Lewis and the calls being made, or he was still losing his crap over Brian Watson in the other side of the box. He gets another 10 and a game. The game is not even 5 minutes old, and Reggie Fleming amassed 39 minutes in penalties and was gone. And
so
he ended up
getting more penalties, but from the penalty bench, because he wasn't going to play in the first period. He had 2 twos, a 5, and a 10. So that's 19 minutes right
and
there.
And through the hardest working team in hockey era with Ray and May and Barnaby
That's never been done.
There was never a Sabre that picked up 39 penalty minutes in a game.
He probably played 20 seconds of ice time and had 39 penalty minutes because that was his first shift in the first minute. So
isn't that incredible?
Okay. Jerry Meehan, incredible. Yes. Player, captain, but more importantly is, addition to the front office, right? Drafting Pierre Turgeon and getting Alex McGillney, Dale Hawerchuk, Pat LaFontaine, getting Dominic Hasek. Like, those are all Jerry Meehan moves. Like, there, and let's also remember, like, after his playing career, he got a undergraduate degree from Canisius, right? And then he went to the University of Buffalo Law School, continued to teach and to be involved in the community, like, has done so much great work with the Alumni Association, trying to help a lot of alumni. So he's always had that thinking cap on, how can we advance? How can we get better? How can we, not deferring, getting better now and getting better later. So that has been Jerry Meehan's, contribution to the organization, to this area. And to see him every year at the arena, at the golf tournament, at alumni events, he's definitely one you got to spend 5 minutes to talk to, because every time you talk to him, you walk away with a big smile and with greater knowledge.
100%. And when we went through our 50th anniversary season not that long ago, just being around some of those sit-down interviews and hearing, maybe again, but sometimes for the first time, you know, just how things came to be at certain times in franchise history. Jerry's in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. I hope someday it's the Sabres Hall of Fame as well. And yes. Just an absolutely, you said it, he is there to help. And whether it was players or next generation students who looked at sports and wanted to get into it via the law side of things, and which is, what did we start the show talking about?
About contracts.
Massive contracts, deferred money, all this, everything that goes into this kind of stuff, right? He's just so sharp, and it's been an absolute treat. So happy birthday, Jerry. And then isn't that fitting that you mentioned Philadelphia?
Yes.
And he came from Philly, and Philly's our team of the day, so why not do a quick little blurb on the Flyers. They are, well, Puckpedia has them as one of four teams right now that are over the cap. So they'll get that sorted out before the season begins. They do have a lot of dead.
You would think, but
yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be funny if they couldn't get around it and then like get a team suspension and they have to forfeit games. Like, wouldn't that be a new wrinkle in today's NHL?
It's a good number. It's 900,000, right? Just a little under 900. So, okay. It may be one player, a player that's making, you know, 900,000. You say, okay, you go spend a little bit of time in the minors until we get an injury. And that's what it is.
Yes. And they've got a lot of dead cap, if you will. Cal Peterson buried in the minors. You've got money still owing to Kevin Hayes, Cam Atkinson, Tony D'Angelo. So they're working with their hands behind their back a little bit as far as building the best roster possible right now and next year before all of this comes off the books. Last year was, it became, I don't know if I can say controversial, but a talking point, you know, when your captain is sitting out and the question now remains, like, what is the reasonable expectation in the remaining 4 years of Sean Couturier's deal, right? At 7.7. They got the future with Konechny locked up. He still has another bargain year this year before going into his 8-year, $70 million deal. There were times where people wondered, is Joel Farabee going to remain a Philadelphia Flyer? He's got 4 years left at $5 million per. It's been pretty consistent. Morgan Frost is about to embark on the biggest season of his professional life, entering into the last year of his deal. He's a former first-rounder, making 2.1. Tortorella's shown him tough love, and Frost is going to walk himself into restricted free agency again here. So big opportunity for him. And of course, when you're talking about all these forwards, probably the most interesting name is going to be Matvei Michkov, right?
Matvei Michkov is the one lone addition, I think, that the Flyers made over the summer. Their roster is basically the same, but I think you mentioned Sean Couturier. I feel like Sean Couturier would be the perfect guy to start the season with Matvei Michkov, right? You just put a veteran that is responsible, that can teach the captain and can help Michkov, and then that allows Frost to maybe play with Konechny on the second line. You balance it out a little bit. I still don't think that the Flyers are a team that is going to be getting close to the playoffs this year. I think they overperformed last year. Not sure that they're going to be there this year. Their goaltending, obviously, you know, Samuel Ersson started well, fizzled out, played a lot of games, maybe too much. Fedotov is a big question mark. I don't like their back end. I don't like their goaltending. I think their forwards are pretty good. And just quickly, we mentioned the Flyers were over the cap, but there's a Ryan Johansson thing that's kind of lingering. That could be $4 million off the cap. That could be a settlement. That could be a number we don't know yet, which is also going to be a bit of a soap opera going into the camp. And the first day of the regular season, what is going to happen with Ryan Johansson? He's not going to Philly, but there's $4 million of cap figure that's there.
I don't have the doubts that you seem to have in Philly. It's year three under Tortorella. They went from 61 to 75 and then from 75 to 87. So I would present from 87 to what? And I think it'll be mid-90s. And then the fight will be on as far as, you know, for positioning and all that. They have missed the postseason 4 years in a row, almost shockingly last year, based on how good they were for the majority of the year. It's the second longest drought without playoffs in franchise history, and they've missed eight of the last 12 years, having amassed just one series win over that time. The goaltending is interesting. Ersson may have tired a little bit, as the entire group may have, but he's got 2 years left at the, you know, ridiculous bargain of 1.4 per. But they obviously like Fedotov enough that even in his cameo in North America, they quickly extended him for 2 years at 3.275. So who do they like more, and why did they do what they did with Fedotov?
Well, they did what they did with Fedotov because, look, it's a way to get him to North America. Say, come over, we'll get you the extension, we'll get you the money. There was some, you know, speculation. Is he coming? He ended up staying in Russia to do his military, engagement and all of it. So that was mandatory. But now he's over. You sign him to the extension. You say, we want you. It's $3 million. Knowing that Ersson is at a little over $1.5 million, you're like, okay, we're spending less than $5 million on two goalies. It's fine. Me, it's an overpayment on Fedotov. I think they like Sam Ersson more right now. Like, if you start the season, Sam Ersson's your number one goaltender. Fedotov is a big question mark. I'm not a big fan. He's huge. He's massive. But as we saw in the Buffalo game that the Sabres end up winning 4-2 here in Buffalo in April, he doesn't move all that well. And maybe there's an adjustment to the North American game, to the NHL, and that may be in the process right now. But I think Ersson's the guy. Fedotov's is next. After that, hoping to take over by year two, probably.
Chris hit us up at Sabres Live and wants to know if there's any truth to the rumors that Farabee could come to the Sabres.
I think there was always a lot of Farabee discussions, especially over the last 6 months. That's fizzled out. I'm not seeing any player movement when it comes to the Flyers or the Sabres going into this year. Farabee's an interesting player because when I put my lineup together, he's on the third line, and is this a player that wants to play top 6 minutes? Well, would he have that opportunity in Buffalo anyway? Maybe with Thompson and Tuck or with Cousins and Quinn, depending on where Peterka is. I think that's Jason Zucker right now, so I don't think there's a spot in the top six for Buffalo anyway.
All right, Marty's Olympic minutes have come and gone this summer, but he may have landed.
Paralympic minutes, if you want. I can talk about that. I watched a little Paralympic over the weekend.
That too. So there are multiple options for Marty straight ahead here on Sabres Live. But of course, as he mentioned earlier, there's a lot going on hockey-wise and I would say fun around the game, which is, as we know, Sabres Fan Fest, which is rapidly approaching, and it encompasses Hockey Fest as well. Fan Fest, presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Fun games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It all runs in conjunction with the Street Hockey Tournament, which is Hockey Fest, right out on RJ Way, Alumni Plaza, Saturday, September 14th. Go to sabres.com/fanfest, and we're back after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.